Can you guys hear me okay? Okay, this is really, really new for me. I've recently just been resting from preaching and from pastoring, and because of this like full time of rest, I feel so rejuvenated. I feel so like, I feel like some of my hairs are growing back that I lost. but at the same time, I'm very thrilled and excited, and almost excited for what God is gonna do here. So I am in the interview, if you don't mind me like sharing, I'm in the interviewing process of being a pastor role here. And it's my great honor to be standing here to share a message with you. As I was preparing, and even long before, like, I told, you know, the head pastor and Peter about what I was going to speak about, I was really assured that God wanted me to preach this message to you guys. So I'm so excited. I'm so honored that I could just be used by God right now to be sharing what I believe is what God wants to speak to you guys about. So, yeah, I know you prayed for us, but can we pray again? Yeah, I would like us to have a prayerful heart, and I will also be praying as I share this message too, so that we can listen towards what like God may be speaking to all of us this morning, okay? So let's pray. God, we thank you so much. There's so many exciting things going on here at this church, God, all the carnivals, all the things that, you know, this church, your body is preparing for to do your works. Father, we ask that your hand, your blessing hand will be a part of it from the beginning to the end. And Father, right now, we just want to ready our hearts to receive the word that you have for us, Father. We ask that your spirit, as we had worshiped you, as we had praised your name, we have faith, Father, that your presence is with us. And this presence of God that is with us, I ask that he will penetrate our hearts to renew us in our minds and to renew us in our thoughts and our beliefs and our actions and transform us at this time. We thank you and we glorify you for all that you will be doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so today's message is on waiting. Can everyone say waiting? Okay, we're going to be talking about what to wait on and what not to wait on. Who here likes to wait? Can I get a show of hands? Yeah, no one likes waiting, right? Yeah, it's so, like, difficult to wait because we want to, like, hurry up and get there already, right? Like, if we, let's say, I want to say iPhone because my iPhone actually cracked and it's really upsetting. But now I have another replacement phone. But, you know, we want to hurry up and fix it already, right? But my phone has been broken for a long time. What are some things that you guys want to, you know, you guys want to hurry up the process of, right? We're going to look today in our passage. I'm going to talk about the story of Jeremiah, the story of Israel, we're going to talk about what God said to the Israelites, which is that we should be waiting, right? Dun, dun, dun. But this is actually nice because God is so good. Whenever he tells us to do something, he's the one that gives us the power. He's the one that tells us, like, the benefits of it. He's, like, the best businessman in the whole wide world. He's, like, the best, like, counselor in the whole wide world, because if there's something wrong with us and we can't see that, he will tell us what we need so that we could see the way that God that God sees. Amen? Okay, we will see that faith, why the shield of faith is necessary. Everyone say shield of faith. Shield of faith, not field. Shield of faith. Shield of faith. And why the shield of faith is proof that God loves us. Can everyone say God loves us? Awesome. The adults are, like, louder than you guys. Come on. Can the youth group in the left say God loves us? Are you guys sure you guys know what God loves, that God loves you guys? Can you guys say it with more power? God loves us. Okay, let's try one last time because it's getting better, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, that's good for now. That's good. That's awesome. Good job. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you. Does everybody have their Bibles with them? Can you guys, like, wave them in the, like, you know? Yeah, awesome. Awesome, awesome. Welcome the people that are entering the back. Where's your Bibles? Wave them in the air. Oh, there's one out of four you guys? Okay, that's fine. You guys can share. Okay, so before we turn to our Bibles, we're going to talk about, I'm going to share to you guys a little bit of history, right? I'm going to share some history. I love history, and history says a lot. Okay, so before the story takes place, which is Jeremiah 29, we need to know that Israel, everyone say Israel, Israel, you know, was one nation. So back in Exodus, Israel was one nation, okay? But because there was rebellion against God, everyone say rebellion. Yeah, what does that look like? It looks ugly, okay? It doesn't look nice when people are rebellious, okay? So imagine ugliness, like, ooh, that looks chaotic, you know, chaotic, ugly. It split into two, everyone say two. Guess what the two were? It was Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. Okay, so there was Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. There were. Do you guys know how many tribes there were in Israel? Sorry, what? Yeah. Guess how many tribes were in the Southern Kingdom? Oh, dun dun dun. There was two. Everyone say two. Okay, so the Northern Kingdom had 10, and those people were the rebellious people. And before the story takes place, actually, the Northern Kingdom, they rebelled so much against God that God took them as captives, the Assyrians. So if this is Egypt, and this is Israel, and this is Babylonia and Assyria, the Northern Kingdom got captivated by the Assyrians. And they were called this diaspora, which means they were scattered. It was like they conquered them and it was scattered. So by this point, that our story took place right before, the Southern Kingdom was called Judah. It's familiar, Judah, right? Judah. Judah was the only Israelites that were in the Jerusalem area. So do you guys think that they were just like the Southern, the Northern, or do you think that they were not? They were just like the Northern, because Jeremiah, who was a prophet, he's also in the Bible, right? Jeremiah, the prophet, the messenger of God, told the king of Judah, the Southern Kingdom, to turn away from worshiping other things, to turn away from worshiping idols, and restore their relationship with God. They're like, you need to have a relationship with God. But this is the catch, guys. I'm going to tell you guys some real diamonds here. One of the things that King of Judah worshipped was relationship with strong countries. Everyone say strong countries. Strong countries, okay? To the King of Judah, maybe he knew it, maybe he did it. The stronger countries seemed more reasonable than trusting in God, because God's ways didn't make any sense, perhaps. Because God said, don't trust in those countries, those strong countries. Yeah, there's maybe perhaps the king of Judah was like really anxious because the Northern Kingdom got like 10 tribes, which is a lot more than the Southern Kingdom, got eaten, basically, you know, captivated by the Syrians, and they were a strong country. But Jeremiah, the messenger of God, said, you need to turn away from worshiping that strong relationship with strong countries. Now, the strong country that the king of Judah was trying to hold was the Egyptians. Everyone say Egyptians, right? Doesn't that sound familiar? I just talked about Exodus. And what did the Egyptians do to the Israelites? Yeah, they enslaved them. And did you know that they enslaved them because the Egyptians were threatened? In the Bible, it says, be fruitful and multiply. And the Israelites were doing just the thing. They were multiplying. There were, like, you know, babies everywhere. And the Egyptians are like, there's so many of them. And what if we can't control them? What if they, like, overtake us? Because, you know, a long time ago, someone, like, multiplied. And then they ended up, like, enslaving us. So we're going to enslave them. And so they did horrible things, right? They killed all the boys. You know, they enslaved them. They made them do, like, things that were, like child labor, you know, like harsh labor, all that, like stuff that is going on right now was what the Egyptians were doing. It was pretty evil. But the king of Judah was trying to make a relationship with the Egyptians. Why? Because the Egypt and Assyrians, which the northern Israel was captivated with, and Babylon, they were having a power struggle, just like how like Trump and like North Korea is kind of going crazy right now. You know, it was like that back in those days, Assyrians, Egyptians, and Babylonian. So what should have the Israelites have done? What do you guys think? They should have listened to God, right? They should have listened to God, but what did they do? They went and friended Egyptians because they thought that the Egyptians would keep them safe. Instead of taking responsibility for their wrongdoings, oh right, Egyptians are actually slaved us. Oh right, Egyptians don't know God. Oh right, Egyptians can't keep us safe. And by saying yes to good things like that and stay blessed by God, but they departed from God's will. Everyone say God's will. God's will. So when the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar saw the Israelites being friends with Egypt when they were having a power struggle, Nebuchadnezzar was like, nuh-uh. So he went, took the king of Judah and everyone. Israelites were revolved around the pastor, right? And the people that work at the church. They were revolved around that. They were like the president, I guess. You know, they were like the, you know, high officials, the government of today, because government and religion, you know, faith was just one back then. So they took the high priests, they took the government officials, ripped them off of Jerusalem, their home country, what they're attached to, and brought them over to Babylon. How would you guys feel when, if you guys, you know, we're all here, like, let's talk about history, like the Japanese, for example, you know, they lived in America, but they were striped, just because they were Japanese, they were striped of what they had and sent into concentration camps, right? So these people were so sad and very upset. Because their whole life, they were worshiping God in a temple. Their whole life, they were worshiping God in structure, in their politics. Ordinary people that was not a part of the temple, that was not a part of this high class official, were able to stay in Jerusalem. Now, the king of Babylonia also destroyed the temple too. So this is the background information of this Bible verse. We're not done yet. This is just the beginning. let's turn to Jeremiah 29, shall we? So that's what exile is. Exile is when strong countries take the citizens or people of a lesser country to prohibit them from rebelling against them. That's what exile is. And these Israelites, you know, partial people from the southern kingdom were sent to exile to Babylon. Okay, are you guys all there? All right, let's read verse 1 to verse 3. Ready? Go. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Jemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, all right, I thought that it was beautiful that Jeremiah, this prophet, I think Jeremiah was still in Israel. He sent this letter to King Nebuchadnezzar. So King Nebuchadnezzar has like all these like Jerusalem kings and officials under them, right? But the prophet, the person of God sent the letter to King Nebuchadnezzar to share with the Israelites. I find this so beautiful. So let's see what God, through Jeremiah, is saying to those people. Is everyone with me? Okay. Let's read from verse 4 to verse 9. Ready, go. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Okay, can we stop here for a second? I have to say this. Let's look back at verse 4. This exile, right? It was pretty horrible when we just learned about it and, you know, heard about it. What does it say? Who did this? Was it actually King Nebuchadnezzar, according to the word of God? No. It says God did this. God is the one that ordered the exile. Okay, we'll settle with that. Okay, and it says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. It means to make peace with them, right? Okay, so let's read accordingly to verse 9 from verse 6. Ready, go. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Amen. Okay, so we just read about false, during like verse 9, it said that there are a lot of false prophets. During that time, so this is devastation, a lot of chaos. During that time, wouldn't it be nice to hear, oh, don't worry, God will bring you back into Jerusalem in no time. Does that sound better? Does that make you feel better maybe, right? But God says that these people are called false prophets, saying the false prophecy. They were saying that this exile, their horrible like experience, whatever could be horrible, would be over in 2 years. And to those people who were devastated, to those people who were like, oh my gosh, we need a temple to worship God, and we need this government like to worship God, like we need to do this for God. It was an appeal to be viable. The process of exile was considered to be shame. It was considered to be horrible for the Israelites. And they were ready to go back to their territories to rule as kings and high positions over again. And so they're like, come on, like, let's get back there. Oh, 2 years, that sounds so nice. Let's go back in 2 years. I think that's my time. They were really safe. It's not like the Egyptians who were like making them like slaves and like do horrible things, didn't give them a lot of clothes, whatever. And they were safe. They could lead a normal life in exile. But the false prophets were giving an easy way out. Can you guys say easy way out? Yeah. Is that good or bad? What do you guys think? No, huh? Yeah, the easy way out sometimes is the worst thing. It goes against God. Okay, so let's read to verse 10 to 14. Ready, go. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place, Israel, Jerusalem. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And all of God's people said, amen. Can you guys say it with another, like, amen? Amen. 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 Okay, let's go back. The fact that God would say to Prophet Jeremiah that God wanted them to stay there for 70 years was a revolutionary command from God, because the people in exile was, again, comfortable with temple and the sacrifices and you know, to worship God. But God told the people that people in exile, that they should pray for the welfare of those that stripped them from those things that they were comfortable with, for the Babylonian regime. Pray for its welfare and not its downfall. And God says God's way is that when we do that, we too will prosper. What are some things? Okay, I'm not going to go there. These people depended on an army. Think about it. Do we have an army? Right? We have an army, right? But these Israelites in exile did not have an army. So think about how unsafe they felt. National borders, they had no national borders. They were in someone else's land. Temples, kingship, national state. Yeah. So it's not an easy thing to accept. It was interesting because those who were failing to pray for the prosperity of the Babylonians were probably the ones that were led astray to being open to the false prophets. Oh yeah, 2 years, that's fine. Let's go, let's get out of here in 2 years. These false prophets were working to speed up divine timing from God, and lead a revolt against the Babylonians so that they could return back to Jerusalem. But it was against the word of God. Everyone say, against the word of God. Okay? And they did not make peace. Revolt is not peace, right? So they're definitely, you know, going against God. But these false prophets, their lifestyles were so evil. They were not leading a good life. So you know what happened to them? They died a very horrible death. As they were handed to Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember Daniel and his three friends? Remember how, like, what happened? Yeah, there was fire. Yes. Did they live? Oh, yeah. See, you guys are so smart. They lived. Okay? But these people, these false prophets died in a horrible way. Like, the same way that they tried to kill Daniel and his friends, but they actually died. contrary to Daniel and his friends who survived the fire. Okay, very importantly, God affirms that this exile would only last for a brief time, even though it sounds like 70 years. When they obey God and have babies, multiply, make peace with them, you know, it's only going to be a brief time. God encouraged them to be weak. God did not encourage them and say, yeah, I'm with you, so go and kill all these Babylonians and come back to Jerusalem. Because remember, they sinned against God. They were the ones that didn't listen to God, and that's why they were into exile, right? And people who did not know about this will continue in the ways of evil and listen to false prophets and disobey God continually. Okay, point number one. Through this situation, God was stripping off what the people of Judah were depending on. Everyone say depending on. God challenged themselves through the situations, through their circumstances, that God himself was all they needed. God himself is all they need to depend on. So this is my question to you guys. What are we depending on more than God? Are we depending on our own skills? Are we depending on our own knowledge? Or are we prayerfully going before God through the things that we have in mind and waiting for him to move and walking in obedience with God? Do you guys feel like you're in exile? Are there like popping up moments where you feel like you're in exile? Oh, this feels like an exile. Do you feel punished? Or rather, do you guys have pity on yourself because of what's going on around you? Or are you like angry at God? Are you in confusion? During the situations, it's not a quick fix. Oh yeah, we should just do this. Or we should do this to forget about it. It's not, God does not want us to depend on ourselves, or God does not want us to depend on other things, going against God. God wants us to depend on him more than anything else in the world. Amen? Amen? Amen. He loves you guys so much. God is the giver of all things. He gives us all that we need in our life. Do you guys believe that? Is that, you know, that makes sense, right? Why would a God want us to depend on him if he's not going to give us what we need, right? That makes no sense. But God is the giver of all things, and he has all the power that is needed. He is the source of all things. Therefore, it is rightfully so that he would be the first person we depend on. Amen? Amen. Second, God is challenging us through this passage today to obey God. Can you guys say, obey God? Obey God. Obey God. So if we want to obey him, we need to what? We need to know what he says to obey him, right? Like, what? Yeah, we'll obey, but if we don't know what we should obey, what's the point of deciding to obey? So we need to read the word. Everyone say the word. Okay, the more we get closer to the word, the more we see God, the warmer we see what we need, and so see more what he wants, and the more we could obey, because we'll have something to obey about. We must obey him and his commands. Everyone say his commands. Because it truly glorifies God. Not only it glorifies God, it also protects us. Think about the Israelites. If they listened to Prophet Jeremiah and they depended on God or whatnot, did they need to go through exile? No. They didn't. It was avoidable. Everyone say avoidable. Okay? It was almost unnecessary if they were to obey God. But because they didn't, they had to go to exile. And therefore, yeah. But it's important to think and understand that even in exile, God protects us. Because God was still with them. God was still sending Prophet Jeremiah to tell them of the laws of God. He's like, hey, I understand why you're there. God put you there for a reason. But God is also giving you like his way out. Not the false prophet's way out. His way out. So wherever we are, it's really important that we know that the word of God protects us. Amen? Everyone say, word of God protects. Louder, ready, go. Okay, faster, ready, go. Word of God protects. Amen. We should be on a strike, you know. We shouldn't hesitate. Everyone say, we shouldn't hesitate to obey him. Yeah. And you know what else we could obey about? We could obey in waiting. Woo! Could drop the mic, right? It also means that waiting should be done in obedience, because waiting also protects us, because it's the will of God. So I want to encourage you guys that waiting is not a hopeless situation. Everyone say, waiting is good. I want to encourage you guys that waiting is not a hopeless situation. Amen. I want to encourage you that waiting is a sign of faith. Everyone say sign of faith. Amen. And faith, it says in Hebrews 11:1, faith pleases God. Faith is like, oh yeah, I'm cool with that. Oh, like, yeah, I like that. Thumbs up, like hearts, you know. Waiting shows that God loves us and that we accept his love because we are waiting for him. Ooh, amen. Faith in God will never fail. Not waiting, not having faith in God will fail. Faith in God will never fail because it's turning us from being in the control. It turns us from saying, hey, I know my timing. It turns us from saying, my timing is not the timing. God's timing is the timing. Amen? Because we are rightfully, by doing so, surrendering to God and God's power. He created everything. He's so powerful, you know. We're only his image. And acknowledging that he is our God who looks after us. Amen. Therefore, again, his timing is better than ours. Everyone, tell your neighbor, say, you know, God's timing is better than ours. Yeah, do it. Do it. This is the beginning. His timing is better than ours. His timing is best timing. Tell someone else. Be like, his time is the best time. Okay? All we gotta do is wait and have faith. Okay? So let's think about the story again. In Babylon, there were children who were born after the exile happened, right? So 70 years is a long time. And after 70 years, you have, like, children, a lot of children, especially because God commanded them to have a lot of children. And they were not a part of the whole sinning against God that brought them into exile, right? So that could be our situation too, right? Maybe we're in a situation that we're not really directly affiliated with, but it's a result of something. But does God still want us to wait? What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Yes. See, you guys knew it. See, they had to wait too. Their circumstances, in their circumstances. Even though they haven't even seen their parents or their generation sinning against God, they still had to have faith in God that whatever happened was whatever happened, and have an act of faith by waiting. They were obedient to wait. Waiting and faith is a road to recovery. Everyone say road to recovery. All directed and mandated by God. Right? So maybe, like, God was telling them, like, you need to, like, marry your children, and make peace with Babylonians and pray for them. Maybe they weren't trying to do that when they were not in exile, is my guess. So they're recovering from their disobedience. They're recovering from their lack of faith. Okay, so Carmen and Peter, can I get your help? So they're going to be passing out to you guys something below on the bottom. There are about eight Bible verses that will help you. I feel like, you know, the word of God, we need to get near to the word of God, right? So you guys can look at this and read this, you know, for you, and meditate on it throughout the week for your help, for God's help. And on the first line, it says, what are some things that God is pressing in your heart right now to wait for God for? What are some things we need to wait on God for? Right? There are some things that we shouldn't wait for. Like some of the things that are opposite is doing good things. Making peace, loving and caring those people around us are some of the things that we shouldn't be waiting on, okay? We should do that quickly. But what are some things that we need to wait on God for? Because we need to have faith in him, not in ourselves. Take a quick moment to write it down. It could be good grades, because we need to wait for them, right? It could be good relationships with family. It could be good relationships with friends. It could be wisdom for things we want and need, like technology, like a car, like a house, you know? All right. Can you guys tell your neighbor, being like, everything is going to be okay. Right? Everything's going to be all right because God is going to get you through this. Right? I have good news for you today. All the things that I told you about today was very good news, right? Thumbs up? Yes. But I have another amazing news. Okay? So I talked about shortly, we tend to seek an answer to quick fix our issues and our problems, right? And that's probably why the Israelites were so prone to believe in the false prophets undercovering to fix their own issues. However, there are areas in our lives which we need not to solve because God is the one that should solve it. And the waiting is done so that God will solve those issues. Because when we try to do that, we are trying to take a place of God's throne by doing the things. So when we mess up, we are harsher on ourselves sometimes. And that kind of goes into the whole cycle as well. And we become devastated because of things we have done against God, unintentionally or intentionally. Because we are doing that, we are harming ourselves and those people around us. So this great news is that we were never meant to take the place of God. Because speeding up what is due to life can only be done by God. And the things that we mess up on can only be restored by God. Okay? So, Jesus died for our tendencies to disobey. Jesus Christ died for our tendencies to rely on ourselves. Jesus Christ died for our tendencies of being harsh on ourselves. We are psychologically made to satisfy all of our needs. And what psychology tells us is that if we our needs are not met in one way, then we will go out in another to try to get that need met. And I think that is when we can say, no, God is the one that meets our needs and I will wait on him rather than trying to rely on my own self and do what I could do by myself. Because God's way is higher than all of our ways. And yeah, this earth, our earth has so many spirits that are opposed to God. So we do not have to unnecessarily suffer for natural consequences that could be avoided. So we talked about And all we need to know is that Jesus is the one who came to fix things, and we can't be Jesus. Jesus Christ died so that we will turn away from our worship of idols. The fact that you guys are sitting here, the fact that there's this message going around, the fact that there's a Bible is why Jesus died. Because Jesus wants you guys to have a life that is fulfilling, a life that is honoring God, a life that pleases God, a life of holiness, just as God is holy. He wants to uproot that desires, the sinful desires that are in our hearts so that we could be transformed, to open our eyes to follow God. God's forgiving hand, which paid the penalty for our rebellion against God, is waiting for you to hold. He's reaching out. He has like a bunch of hands in this room right now. Would you guys like to say yes? Would you guys like to say yes? Amen. God loves you guys so much. And he's giving us who he is from the beginning to the end so that we could become one with him. He loves us so much that while we were sinners, while the Israelites were sinners and they were suffering the consequences in Babylon, Jesus still gave his way out, which beats all other of our way out. And it's the best way out. He died for us to give us what we didn't have. That's why we can never forge what looks like salvation, what looks like a rescue, what looks like the ultimate fix of our issues or the problems or us. Again, he loves you so much and he wants to give you guys abundant life. And it says in verse 11 that God does not want to harm us. If there's any one of us who thinks, oh, like this exile is like for my harm and God wants to destroy me, he wants to punish me. No, it's there so that you could have a relationship with God, because God loves relationships with his people. It's the way to go. He doesn't want to destroy your future. He doesn't want you to be hopeless. He wants you to take faith and wait for him. As we make peace with other people, God desires to forgive us. And therefore, he did everything on his part. And all we got to do is obey and walk in his forgiveness and forgive ourselves too. Who in this room needs to forgive themselves? Are you guys a little harsh on yourself? You know? The devil does not want to, this is a last thing. The devil doesn't want us to have faith, because it is when we wait and have faith and trust in God, we see how God blesses us. And the devil doesn't want everyone to be blessed. He wants everyone to be miserable, hopeless, and disobedient to God. And this is the reason why we must take the shield of faith. Everyone say shield of faith. Okay? So this week, because, oh my goodness, like last night, okay, there's so many people praying for this moment right now. There are so many people praying for you guys. And last night, I just felt like there was an attack upon this congregation, because there's so much breakthrough, which means there's so much truth that'll help you, you know, with, like in your relationship with God will happen, but the devil is out to get you. I'm pretty sure as I'm saying this right now, you guys are thinking about moments where you were so like in a verge of giving up, in a verge of being hopeless, in a verge of getting hurt. And maybe you guys are hurt and hopeless. But from now on, it'll be different. Amen? Amen. It'll be different because you will see when the devil is attacking you to rob you of your hope and your joy and your wait for God. He will make you anxious and tell you you need to do something right now, because if you don't do something right now, then you know things are going to get out of hand and everything's going to be chaotic. Or maybe we aren't doing anything, but we don't have faith in God. And so so the devil is attacking us of our weight. That's when Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, which is in your which is in the thing that was passing out, it talks about the shield of faith. Everyone say again, the shield of faith. Okay? So when he makes us think about not waiting on God, making you become annoyed or get angry, which will steal the peace inside of our hearts, which is what Christ gives us. If you guys have peace inside of your hearts, that's the work of Christ. That's God loving you right there. That's the privilege of having a relationship with God, is peace in our hearts. But the devil doesn't want that. And he can't touch God, so he'll touch us, right? So what do we need to do? Have the shield of faith. Amen? When we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who washes our minds to have peace and wisdom, we put up our shield of faith. Putting up the shield of faith actually takes practice. So we're going to practice right now, okay? Everyone go like this. I've never been in war. I don't know what it looks like, but I think it looks like this. So pretend you have a shield of faith, like right here. There's like a little arm loop, right? And you just go like this, right? So the devil is annoying you. So have an image in your head. He's just talking nonsense, you know, trying to get into your head and your mind and your heart, trying to have you not have peace. Yeah, you two back there, our wonderful brothers, take up that shield of faith. Yeah? Like, I messed up, and it don't make you miserable. No, Jesus Christ died for that. I don't have any part in being my own savior. Making you exhausted, angry, bitter. Everyone say, so okay, I'm going to try to mess you guys up. Okay, so this is Satan. This is the devil shooting a flame, okay? I'm shooting a flame to make you exhausted, to make you like really angry and bitter and and about waiting on God. Okay, I'm gonna shoot it. What are you guys gonna do? I'm gonna shoot it right now. Okay, I'm gonna shoot it to the adults. Okay, you children, let's see what the adults are gonna do. Okay, because that's really important. Okay, ready? I'm gonna shoot it all up, like 1,000 of them. Ready? Go. Oh no. Grandpa, Grandma, you need to put up your shield too. We have to see it. Grandma. Okay. I'm going to shoot again. Can you guys put up your shield of faith? Ready? Go. Dad, come on. Your jacket looks really nice. The devil's flame is going to destroy you. You have to put a shield of faith. Okay? So how about the youngsters? Okay, I'm going to shoot up in the air in three, and I wanna get you guys have that shield of faith, okay? Okay, ready? Set, go! 2, 3. See, they're so bold. See, they actually put up their shield. Dad and Grandma and Grandpa. All right? So whenever the devil's attacking you, it doesn't matter who, okay? It doesn't matter if Grandma and Grandpa's is, it doesn't matter who, okay? We got to put up the shield of faith, amen? This faith, God will give me the desires of my heart as I rejoice in God. Shield of faith. I serve God and not my flesh or the devil. Everyone put up your shield of faith. Put it up. Yeah, that's right. Woo! Victory in Jesus' name, right? Again, I serve God and not my flesh or the devil. Shield of faith. Shield of faith. Waiting on God and not acting on my own understanding, trusting in God's timing and God's will for me. Shield of faith. Amen. Right? We can shave, wave or shave. Shield of faith in the air and praise God. I don't know why I keep saying shield. I mean, yeah. Field. Okay, so last point, I know I said that was last point, but without faith, like there's no waiting without faith, and faith has to come with waiting. So those of you guys today, take faith, take the wait, take both, be connected to God, because he doesn't want to lose the relationship with you anyway. Every time we go like, I want that, and that's getting ahead of us, and we're getting ahead of ourselves and ahead of God, we must know that God doesn't want us to lose our faith or lose our relationship with him and therefore not wait. So everyone, let's take faith and wait for the commands of God to move. All right, so let's take this time to pray. Can I have like the praise team up here or, yeah. Okay, the first thing we want to pray for is God's wisdom. You guys can, yeah, oh my gosh, beautiful. Woo, sister, keep playing. So anointed by God. Keep playing, keep playing. Let's pray that, so everyone, let's bow our heads. Amen. God is giving us so much joy and in time of enjoyable. See, learning is so fun. Learning is joy. Learning is amazing, and it's all because of God and God's love for us. It says in the Bible that whenever we lack wisdom, whenever we lack, we should ask God for wisdom, who gives to all without telling us that we don't deserve it. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. He's so kind. Whenever we turn to him, he gives us everything we need in his time. So let's all pray at this time for God's wisdom, that God will give us wisdom. Let's seek God for wisdom and discernment. And when we are done with that, let's pray for blessings upon our authorities, upon Peter here, who's, you know, serving you with his music and with his desire for, you know, praising God and leading you guys. You know, I've been talking, you know, with Peter like from on a week or more than a week. You know, discussing about the congregation and whatnot. And his heart, he has such a father's heart. Even if we can't see it, we have to have faith in that because he does. And we should pray, you know, for our authorities. Pray for blessings upon our authorities. The senior pastor, our parents, our older sisters, and those who are in their authorities. Let's pray for the people that God has entrusted to us. With let's just soak and have this time devoted to God.
God, the everlasting God, you do nothing, you won't grow weary. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do nothing, you won't grow weary. Shall we rise? You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God, you do nothing, you won't grow weary. You are the fender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up on wings like eagle.
I also want to encourage you guys today. Some of you guys may be waiting for vengeance. You guys may be waiting in agony of the pain that has been caused by other people to you. And I think God wants to encourage you guys today that the vengeance is on God. Amen? He will repay for the things that were done against us. He remembers and he knows who did it. He knows the situation that may cause trauma in our lives. And God wants us to wait and perhaps avoid, but wait for him and not take a vengeance and revenge in our own hands. Let's give God thanks.
Can I have doxology up? And at this time, I also like to invite Pastor Dan to come on up. Pastor Dan.